Let's continue reading verses 8 through 24 of Joshua chapter 2. Now in this part of the chapter, we have the promise to Rahab that because of her faith in the God of Israel, she and her family would be spared when Israel came in and conquered Jericho. Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, and stayed there 3 days, until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In verse 15, we read that Rahab let down the spies by a rope through the window. For her house was on the city wall, she dwelt on the wall. You know, recent excavations of Jericho have confirmed this biblical statement that there were houses on the walls surrounding ancient Jericho. You see, archaeology has shown that there were two walls surrounding Jericho at the time of the conquest. An outer, lower stone revetment wall topped with mud bricks and an inner upper mud brick wall. And between these two walls, there were buildings. In fact, some of these buildings used one of the walls as part of its structure. Apparently, Rahab had a house which used the outside wall as one of its sides. Thus, she was able to let the spies escape from the walled city by letting the spies down on a rope from her window, as we see here in verse 15. Now, I'm holding up a diagram of what I've just described about the two walls around Jericho and how Rahab's house was on the wall. If you can't see this now, see me at the back later, or better yet, go to our website. Here we go, once again, right? Go to our website and look at handout number 32 in the course, Christian Evidences 1. What's the address again? www.growingchristians.org. Then click on Courses for Growing Christians, then click on Christian Evidences 1, and then go to the lecture on biblical archaeology and handout number 32. In verse 22, we read that the spies departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The mountain mentioned here is west of Jericho. in the Judean hills of the Judean wilderness. Exactly which mountain it was, we don't know, but the whole area is honeycombed with caves and other good hiding places. This is the same area where our Lord faced the temptations more than 1,400 years later. And this also is the same general area where the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden, including the book of Joshua. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the works of God are known by the unbeliever. The works of God are known by the unbeliever. Look at what Rahab says in verses 10 and 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. The works of God are known by the unbeliever. The unbelievers in Jericho knew about the works of God. In fact, as a result, they were scared. The spy mission was successful. Look at what the spies say to Joshua when they return. Verse 24, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Notice, by the way, that the Exodus and crossing of the Red Sea, which happened 40 years before this time, are well remembered by the unbelievers of Jericho. This shows, by the way, that the crossing of the Red Sea was a major miracle and not some watered-down version of crossing some marshy area, as some critics of the Bible like to say. Do you follow the logic there? Okay. The unbelievers of Jericho knew all about the works of God, including the recent victories over Sihon and Og, king of the Amorites. Now, you know, the same is true of unbelievers today. Even though they are unbelievers, they do recognize the works of God. Romans chapter 1 says that unbelievers are without excuse because even the works of God in creation are obvious. Illustration. You know, when I was working in secular employment back in the early 70s, a non-Christian colleague of mine, who was usually a skeptic, he came to me during the 1973 Yom Kippur War in Israel. And he asked me who was going to win. In other words, what did the Bible say? It was obvious to this unbeliever that God was at work in the nation of Israel. The works of God are known by the unbeliever, including the Rahabs. Who would have thought that this prostitute from pagan Jericho would not only know the works of God, but be open for salvation? You notice she refers not to just your God, but the Lord, the God, the true God of heaven and earth. And she uses the pronoun we. We know what the Lord has done for you. The unbelievers at Jericho knew of the works of God. What a lesson for us. By the way, don't write the Rahabs off. The works of God are known by the unbeliever, and many of them are open to going further and coming to the Lord for salvation. The works of God are known by the unbeliever. Doctrinal point number two, the grace of God is extended to the unbeliever. The grace of God is extended to the unbeliever. God doesn't just show his works to the unbeliever, he extends his grace to the unbeliever. When Rahab asked for mercy, she received it. Listen to what we read about Rahab in Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. You know, I had new insight into this verse this week in preparing this message. Notice what this verse is saying. All the inhabitants of Jericho had a chance to escape the judgment. They all knew of the works of God. But Hebrews 11:31 says they did not believe. But Rahab believed and became a trophy of the grace of God. Every unbeliever is a potential trophy of the grace of God. But you must respond in faith and believe. Think of the grace of God extended to Rahab, a Gentile prostitute outside the covenant community of Israel, part of the Canaanite culture that was under the judgment of God for gross idolatry and immorality. But God in his grace reached down and saved Rahab. How wonderful. And not only did he save Rahab, but he gave her a significant role in Israel. Rahab became the great-great-grandfather. Grandfather, yeah, no way. That would be a miracle. Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of King David, and thus in the lineage of Christ, the Redeemer for the world. How marvelous is the grace of God. Not only does the justice of God extend to the unbeliever, the grace of God is extended to the unbeliever. Practical application. Let's have a Rahab-like faith and concern for our families. Let's have a Rahab-like faith and concern for our families. Notice the great concern Rahab had for her family. In verses 12 and 13, she says, "Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Rahab had a great concern for her family, and God honored Rahab's faith and saved her whole family. The family believed Rahab's message because they joined her in the house that was under God's protection. We read in verses 18 and 21 that the sign of protection for Rahab's household was the scarlet cord hung in the window. Now, the main purpose of the scarlet cord, of course, was so that the Israeli army could see which house was to be protected when the conquest began. Is the scarlet cord a type of the blood of Christ? It may be. Many Christians down through church history have seen this spiritual picture. In any case, we can certainly say that just as the blood of the Passover lamb protected the believing household in Exodus 12, and the scarlet cord protected the believing household here in Joshua 2, so it is the blood of Christ that protects the believing household today. Let me ask you this morning, is your family under the blood? Is your home a household of faith? Remember what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, certainly every individual of that household and of any household must become a believer. But as God honored the faith of Rahab, and her concern for the salvation of her family, so God honors the faith and concern for the salvation of our families. Let's have a Rahab-like faith and concern for our families.